In today's episode, we're focusing on a critical aspect of retirement planning: healthcare costs. How well prepared are you to handle medical expenses after you retire? We'll discuss everything from Medicare complexities to strategies for managing unexpected health-related expenses in retirement. So tune in today as we break down the essentials of healthcare financial planning for retirees. Let's get started.
It's time for the Retirement Roadmap Podcast with registered financial consultant Glenn Mosseller.
Welcome to another episode of the Retirement Roadmap. Walter Sorholt here alongside Glenn Mosseller, registered financial consultant and founder and president of Roadmap Financial Consulting. Find us online at roadmapfinancial.com. Glenn, good to be with you this week. How's life, my friend?
Oh, things are going pretty well, Walter. How about you?
Nice. That's good to hear. Yeah, life is good. Nice and busy. Ready to turn that corner into spring, it seems. So.
Yes, sir. We are like counting it down, you know. We're ready for it to get here.
Already getting some hints of it, it seems. So, it's knocking on the door for sure. Well, I think it'll be a great episode today. A really important topic as we dive into healthcare conversations here, and not just the broader conversation, but I think we'll actually get into some details today, which should be helpful for folks who maybe haven't gone too far down the line of planning for retirement, especially if they haven't considered all the different moving parts that come along with this healthcare conversation. So, perhaps to get things started, Glenn, let's begin with just a discussion of how prepared you think the average pre-retiree is for handling the healthcare costs that they're going to face in retirement. What jumps out to you when you're kind of having those initial conversations with folks is maybe what they're getting right and also maybe what they're missing.
Well, I think, Walter, most folks I talk with, I mean, they have a general sense that, you know, it's like, okay, I know things are going to be changing. I know that I'm going to be shifting over to Medicare, but I'm not really entirely sure what all that's going to mean. Typically, they have enough information, you know, in a lot of cases, just to be dangerous, right? You know a little bit, but you don't really know everything that you really need to know to make informed decisions. You know, they started, you know, getting a little bit of information. They maybe have some friends or different ones that they know that it's like, okay, you know, I know that there's these Medicare supplements or maybe some Medicare Advantage plans, but I don't really know too much about the differences. And then, you know, there's all these different, you know, within there, there's subsets of different types of plans. And then there's all the different carriers. They know they're going to have to do something, but, you know, and so the challenge is like, you know, how aggressive are they in terms of, you know, trying to figure that out and, you know, and getting educated, or are they getting overwhelmed with it? And that's where we want to really battle against. We want to stop the overwhelm and just say, okay, let's chunk this down and let's kind of look at it, give you some basic fundamental, you know, foundational information, and then you can start to build on that and, you know, and start to develop the insights as to, okay, well, where are you going to fit in? What kind of plans, you know, might fit for you? You maybe, you know, make an introduction to an independent, you know, insurance agent who is not beholden to any one company. And then, you know, and then from there, they can really begin to, you know, start to, you know, make distinctions about what's going to be the way forward for them, you know, and as well as, you know, start thinking about what, if anything, do they have in place for anything for long-term care, you know, other things that could possibly crop up. But, you know, you kind of start with the, you know, the basic healthcare and knowing that you're going to be moving from, you know, whatever plan you are, you know, pre-65 to, you know, for the vast majority of folks thinking in terms of, okay, well, now I'm going to be making that transition. And, you know, what do I need to know? And how do I get from this point to that point?
Makes a lot of sense, Glenn. So yeah, we got a lot of things to consider when it comes to healthcare. So let's talk a little bit more about what expenses we can really expect. We want to make sure we're not missing some big expense and overlooking something that's going to cost us a lot of money in retirement. So what are some of the most common healthcare expenses that you see people facing that have the biggest impact on a retiree's wealth?
Well, Walter, I mean, you kind of go down the list. I mean, there's prescriptions, right? I mean, oftentimes those things can be very expensive. And then, you know, you also have the, you know, that kind of that thing that's in within Medicare that, you know, even if you're not taking prescription drugs, you still need to sign up for Medicare Part D, as in D, meaning the Medicare Part D for drugs. And, you know, and you have to sign up for that. And if you don't sign up for that, you know, timely, then you're going to be penalized. And not only are you going to be penalized, but you'll be penalized for the rest of your life. life. So it's something that you really need to understand, because, you know, that monthly fee that's there, you know, can potentially become, you know, quite large if you don't dot your I's and cross your T's, and you got to make sure that you sign up for it. And, you know, most people do, but it is something that can be overlooked. And, you know, particularly if somebody's like really, you know, fervent, it's like, oh, I'm not taking any prescriptions. I never have, and I don't think I ever will. But you still need to sign up for that. It doesn't mean that you're going to be taking a lot of prescription drugs, but you got to definitely sign up and, you know, get yourself, you know, on track of, you know, making sure that you're, you know, that you're enrolling, you know, as it were, you know, and that type of thing. You know, you also see, you know, the long-term care, you know, that's a biggie, Walter, because, you know, folks really, I mean, they're pretty aware of the fact that there's significant risk for, you know, for long-term care, you know, costs, or at least potential long-term care costs. You know, they've seen, you know, maybe family members, maybe their parents or, you know, or friends or, you know, different ones, you know, but, you know, more often than not, you know, most people don't have anything really in place to hedge against those risks, you know, and there are different types of plans out there. There's the traditional long-term care plans, which, you know, those are becoming, you know, less and less common. But there are other kind of hybrid products, Walter, that are out there that sometimes can make sense for folks. But really, it becomes a matter of education and understanding, you know, how those things might work. You know, they can come in the form of, you know, of different types of life insurance policies or annuity type of products where, you know, you can, in essence, have your money doing multiple jobs. In other words, you know, let's say hypothetically, let's say that you're looking at a life insurance policy. Well, most people think in terms of life insurance, they think of death benefit. You know, well, there's different structures and there's different riders that you can put onto different policies, and, you know, similar things in certain annuities that, you know, that you can have where if you needed a long-term care, you know, in any kind of way, and some of them will even go to, you know, to home health care. Whereas, you know, you can start to use, you know, some of those other benefits, and that death benefit can be actually utilized for long-term care or chronic illness, you know, in terms of a rider, being just adding that onto the policy, you know, can allow folks to be able to use that death benefit or part of that death benefit for those types of expenses. So all of a sudden it becomes a situation where, you know, maybe folks are not really crazy about the idea of life insurance, but they also know that they really probably should be doing something about long-term care. You know, and all of a sudden it's like, well, if I don't use it for long-term care, at least it'll go to, you know, to my loved ones or, you know, some cause that I care about. But on the other hand, if I need it while I'm still alive, there are some benefits there. So that has become a really interesting and, you know, a product or different types of products, you know, that folks really want to avail themselves to in terms of at least knowledge and understanding what, you know, what might be out there in the marketplace. There's, as I say, as just kind of an extension of that, you know, chronic illness, you know, can kind of sometimes fall in a similar scenario. You know, folks really need to make sure that they've got money set aside, you know, for emergencies and, you know, and those kinds of things. I mean, that's nothing new, really, Walter. I mean, most people understand the idea of an emergency fund. But as you move into retirement years, you know, sometimes those emergencies might be a little bit different, you know, type of thoughts. So it's like what you might need, you know, because typically, you know, when you're younger and you're healthier, you don't really think in terms of, you know, having that type of emergency, even though they could potentially happen. The odds go up pretty significantly as you get older because, you know, there's more risk in terms of things that could potentially happen with, you know, with health and that kind of thing. And, you know, and then kind of lastly, you know, thinking about Medicare, you know, and understanding what we were talking about just a little bit ago and, you know, and what Medicare will actually cover, what it doesn't cover, you know, and what types of plans are out there that will, you know, will help cover the things that Medicare doesn't, you know, that can come in the form of, you know, Medicare Advantage plans. It can come in the form of Medicare supplement or gap policies. So, you know, again, it's a matter of really educating yourself and understanding, you know, all of the different things that are out there that could potentially, you know, kind of be, you know, lurking in the shadows, so to speak. And I don't really want to make it sound like it's, you know, really scary, but at the same time, if it's outside of your awareness, it's outside of your awareness, and you really want to, you know, be an understanding of what could potentially happen and, you know, how you can position yourself, you know, in an educated position so that you know what you ought to be doing, or at least what you need to be making some decisions about as to how you want to cover yourself.
A lot of decisions to make, Glenn, it sounds like. I can see why it would be important to have somebody helping you navigate through these decisions and making sure they're included in the financial plan, making sure that you're asking the right kinds of questions here. What's your general advice to people, shifting gears a little bit, just to kind of another element of the healthcare conversation here, Glenn? What's your advice to people about whether or not to buy long-term care insurance? I mean, is that something that you're looking at or often looking for alternatives? What direction usually shapes and maps out there?
Well, again, Walter, I really think it comes down to, you know, folks being educated as to what different options are out there within the marketplace and, you know, and understanding the different pros and cons of different types of policies, different types of ways of, you know, either, you know, getting some sort of an insurance coverage or self-insurance. You know, I mean, there's lots of different ways to go about it. But, I find that most people are really just, you know, they're not really fully aware of all the options that are there. I mean, most people, you know, have the understanding that there's the traditional long-term care insurance policies that are kind of similar to, if you will, like a homeowner's policy or, you know, or an auto policy, whereas, you know, you paying your premiums, and then if something happens and, you know, and you need the coverage, then it's there for you. But if you don't need any coverage or if you don't file a claim, then, you know, then those premiums just kind of go away to the insurance company. You know, most people are kind of aware of that type of policy, and that type of policy is really not that popular because it's, you know, because it's significantly more expensive than a homeowner's policy or an auto policy. But it works in a similar way in that it's just like, I mean, if you don't use it, then you tend to lose it. I mean, there are some different policies that are out there that are in that type of traditional long-term care that sometimes will have return of premium, but a lot of times they become, you know, quite expensive. You know, really though, you know, folks need to understand what they're saying yes or no to when they're looking at that type of policy, but also understanding the type of policy that we were just talking about a little earlier, Walter, where you can sometimes have, you know, a type of policy that can do multiple things. You know, it might be a hybrid life insurance or a hybrid annuity type of product that may give you multiples of the benefit that's there, you know, if you need it for long-term care. Whereas, you know, if not, you know, if you don't need it for long-term care, then it, you know, then it could still potentially pass on, you know, to your heirs. If there's that type of policy, then there's another type of policy that is, you know, is similar to, you know, a traditional permanent life insurance policy where you could potentially tap into the death benefit while you're still alive. You know, but there's a number of different options out there that folks just really don't understand and they don't have that much information about. And, you know, they're not overly complicated to understand, but if you haven't really heard about them, or you haven't, you know, maybe you've heard a little bit about them, but you haven't really, you know, learned and, you know, enough to be able to be, you know, making intelligent decisions, whether, you know, it might fit or not fit for you. It's something that you really need to avail yourself to, because, you know, you really just don't want to be in that situation, you know, where, you know, you just are uncovered and you don't have any way of, you know, dealing with long-term care costs. Because, you know, I mean, I think most people understand that, you know, it can get pretty doggone expensive pretty fast. I mean, you can go from, you know, if you're in, you know, full-blown, you know, nursing care, you know, and skilled nursing care, you could be looking at, you know, $8,000-$10,000 or more per month. And it doesn't take very long before, you know, you can wipe out a life's, you know, work of, you know, building up a nest egg. And in, you know, and particularly in this, you know, situation for a married couple, I mean, you don't want to be, you know, a married couple and have, you know, one person is needing that kind of long-term care and it's costing that much, and it ends up, you know, basically impoverishing the other. You know, you just don't want to be in that position. So you want to have, you know, have ways of hedging against that type of risk, and, you know, and like I say, understanding what's there, you know, in the marketplace, and, you know, how you might be able to, you know, put yourself in a little bit better position, and maybe a great deal better position, just by understanding what your choices are.
Understanding what your choices are. That definitely needs to be the theme of today's show. That's the goal for all of this, isn't it? Let's look at our maybe one final direction we can take this conversation in for today, Glenn. What kinds of strategies do you put in place to help people account for these healthcare costs in their retirement plans? So where are we turning to solve these problems and these opportunities that you're talking about?
Right. Well, I mean, like I say, first thing is like where we started with, you know, your Medicare, right? And understanding what those types of choices are in terms of Medicare, Medicare supplement, Medicare Advantage plans. You know, typically a Medicare supplement or Medicare gap plan, as they're also known, you know, is going to have, you know, some premium on a monthly basis, like you would normally think of a, you know, most, you know, health insurance types of coverage. And over time, you know, they, you know, as you get older, that, you know, those costs might increase a little bit. There's some that cover more and, you know, and some that have, you know, more, you know, a little bit more out of pocket. You know, maybe it's a little bit, you know, you insure yourself a little bit, but then it'll kick in, you know, at a higher level. There's also Medicare Advantage plans, where a lot of those don't really have, you know, a monthly premium. However, they might have a, you know, a greater out of pocket, you know, if you do have a claim and that type of thing. And so when we kind of start talking about those things, Walter, we're looking at the overall, you know, cash flow in terms of retirement planning. And, you know, so it's like, well, what's going to make the most sense? You know, if you're going to have a Medicare supplement, and if you're a married couple, well, you know, you got to, you know, probably multiply that cost by, you know, by two, you know, at least maybe a little bit more, you know, in some cases, depending on, you know, what's going on, you know, and how old someone is. But, you know, it's becomes part of the overall, you know, everything kind of interacts with the other, you know, and it's putting the pieces of the puzzle together, right? You know, you want to think in terms of, you know, just, you know, what we've talked about in the past, Walter, in terms of, you know, income planning and making sure that, you know, you've got certain types of what we would call, you know, retirement diversification, where you're adjusting your allocations within your retirement plans to know that you have access to certain monies that are not necessarily subject to lots and lots of volatility, you know, and you would have that, as we've talked about in the past, in terms of just, you know, regular cash flow. You want to know that you have reliable income there, but you also want to know if you have some sort of an emergency or a healthcare emergency, that you want to have access to money that's not going to be subject to all the ups and downs, of the marketplace and the economy, because you don't really want to be in a place where it's just like, oh, well, I got sick, or we had a medical emergency within the household at an inopportune time, you know, because the markets were down at that particular time, or we were in a recession or something like that, and then you had to make distributions or take withdrawals from an account that was not in a good place at that point in time. I mean, you want to try to hedge against that and those kinds of things, Walter. It's critically important to understand how when you're transitioning into retirement, that, you know, your mindset shifts, but some of, you know, a great deal of your strategies will shift around too. It doesn't mean that you completely abandon everything that you've known about, you know, retirement planning, you know, in the past when you were in the accumulation phase, but certainly when you're in the preservation and distribution phase of retirement, you know, you've got to start thinking a little bit more in terms of, you know, okay, I've got to adjust these strategies, and I also have to adopt some new strategies, and it's not necessarily this instead of that, it may be this and that, you know, and then, you know, kind of making that determination as to what's going to be the right mix of things for you. And that's where your advisor or your advisors are going to come into play and help you navigate through those transitions.
Well, those conversations with advisors usually start very simply with a question, maybe one that we covered on today's show, like, do I need long-term care insurance, or what's the best way to plan for healthcare in my retirement plan? If those are the kinds of questions that are on your mind, it would be a good idea to set up a complimentary review with Glenn Mosseller and the team at Roadmap Financial Consulting. All you have to do is call 336-291-3535 to get that scheduled, or you can go to roadmapfinancial.com as well. Look for the free consultation button and you can schedule a time to visit. That's at roadmapfinancial.com. So there's the skinny on planning for healthcare in retirement. If you've got more questions than what we covered on today's show, don't hesitate to reach out. Until next time, for Glenn Mosseller, I'm Walter Storholt, and we will see you on the next episode of the Retirement Roadmap. Thanks for listening.